So we're going to go. I want to talk to you this morning. The title of my message this morning is Strength and Courage. Everybody say strength,
strength.
And courage.
Courage.
And courage. So I'm going to talk to you about a very familiar scripture to a lot of us. It's Joshua 1. Just a little background of this scripture. Joshua 1, where we find ourselves in the story of the Bible here is that so God has taken the Israelites out of Egypt, right? The big parting of the Red Sea, all the plagues and all the things and all. God has drawn people out, right, out of the Red Sea, out of the bondage of Egypt, and has taken them to the land that they promised to Abraham. That God promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation, right? And that God would give them a land. And this is the land that God wants to take them. Understand God's plan is to take them out of Egypt and right into the land that God had wanted to give them, right? So if you know your Bible, we know that that really didn't happen. They get to this land, and all of a sudden they go in, they send the spies, and they see giants in the land, right? They see the people down there. It's a great land. It's like the grapes it produces is amazing. The fruit that it produces is amazing. And all of the good stuff, it's full of good stuff. I would say good stuff. It's full of good stuff, right? And they go in, but the problem is that there are giants in the land. There's something that would hinder them from going into that land, right? And so they end up not going out of fear. They end up not obeying God and leaving, and that causes them to go into this 40-year journey in the wilderness, right? And just walked around and aimlessly walked around in the wilderness, right? Because of their refusal to, by faith, go in and possess what God called them to do, right? So here we find in Joshua 1, and interesting is that Joshua, yes, on Rachel's shirt, it's interesting at this place. So here's Joshua. I want you to get a clear picture of Joshua. You see, Joshua was in Egypt, right? He was in the bondage. He was in that moment. He was taken out of there. He was Moses' right-hand man. He was the guy who went in. And when everybody said no, him and Caleb were the only ones that said, yes, we can go in to possess this land. Right? And so Joshua is in this, I don't know, I really want to talk to Joshua when I get to heaven. And if he would tell me like what he was really feeling all of those 40 years. Like, how do you walk in kindness and love to people all around you that you're like, it's your fault we're here? Yeah. Like, I don't know about you, but if it was me, I'd be gone. Y'all understand, if y'all to listen to me, we wouldn't be having manna. Yeah. We wouldn't be having to eat all this manna, right? We wouldn't have to be wandering around this desert, right? All of you, whenever they would start to complain, like if I was Joshua, I'd be like, it's your fault. Suck it up, buttercup. It's your fault. Yeah. Right? But I don't know. I don't know what kind of person Joshua was to be around. Scripture doesn't really give us a whole lot of background except that he was just a man of faith. But so now Moses is dead. Moses dies before he can go into the promised land. And now, watch this. God's eye moves towards Joshua and says, Joshua, you take them into the land. How many men in here that you have felt that? All of a sudden, now all the eyes are on you. The responsibility lies on you. And all the questions that roll around in your head, do I have what it takes? Am I going to be able to do this? Because now the eye of the Lord is on you to take that job that you were afraid, that you don't know if you really have what it takes to take it. To take that next step in God where you don't know if you have that to take it. Now the eye of the Lord is now on you. No longer is it, it's one thing to be Moses' right-hand man. It's another thing to be the man. Right?
And so God's eye goes on Joshua. And let's pick up the story here in Joshua 1. We're going to read a lot of scripture this morning. Joshua 1, starting in verse 1, very beginning of the book of Joshua. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, by the way. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan into the land which I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. From Negev, the wilderness, and to the south, to Lebanon, the mountains, north from the Euphrates River, to east, to the Mediterranean Sea, in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous. Let me read that again. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one that will lead these people to possess all of the land that I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instruction. I like that definition, the word instead of, I think it says the law, right? In some of our translations, we're used to maybe that, the law. It says, do not deviate from them, turning either from the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction. I like that. Continually. Meditate on them day and night. Let me just say a word about that word instruction. The word law, right? The problem is when we Westerners see that word law, we think of when the police pull behind you after you've been speeding. Right? That is kind of true, but the word instruction is really more true. If you look back into the law of Moses, it's really an instruction book, right, of how to live, right? Yes. So I like this translation, instruction, a little bit better. It says, do not deviate from them, turning to either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of the instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Everybody say, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right? So here we see God's command, right? God's calling the people of Israel into a new place. Like some of you, God is calling you into a new place. And you feel like it's all like on you, right? Maybe you men, you feel that. Like I remember when I got married, I remember my honeymoon thinking, like, am I going to be a husband that's good enough? And now it's on me, right? I'm out of the shadows of my family, or I'm out of the shadows of my life, and now I'm with this woman that God has given me. Do I have what it takes to be the man that God wants me to be? Do I have the ability that God wants, that God would have to be the man of God that my woman, bless the Lord for my woman. My woman is mine and I am hers, as Solomon would say. But you feel me, right? Do I have what it takes, right? I remember when Rachel was born. I remember when you're holding you parents, you remember when you're holding that baby and you're looking for the instruction manual. She didn't come with one. But it's by the Holy Spirit that I'm going to have to parent this child that God has given me. And all of these fears, right? All of these things. I remember when my son was born. Now I have a son. Am I going to be the example of a godly man that he will be able to look at and look to? So now, if I'm honest, I've had good days and I've had bad days. Just ask my kids and my wife. See, God's called us to be strong and courageous. And not to be left out, women. Women, it may always seem like you have to be the one that's strong. It falls on you to be the courageous one. Singles, you may feel like, look, it literally is all on me to be strong in your singleness. Students, what am I going to do after I graduate? Do I have what it takes? I'm about to enter into this new land, a new area. You young adults trying to figure out where is, you know, I feel so much for young adults these days. Like, hey, you've just graduated high school. Now go figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Good luck with that. And all the weight of that responsibility, it weighs heavily on you. My wife and I, we're about to be empty nesters. That's the new phase. So we'll be having counsel with people in here that you're empty nesters. Whether it's a new job, whether it's a new season in life, listen, I want you to know there is a great new land that God wants you to possess. There is a great new place where God wants you to possess. But then God says, I want you to, in order to possess it. Now listen, there's a difference between the old Israelites and now these new Israelites that are going to actually possess the land. That these old Israelites, they saw the giants, right? Interesting, I don't know if you know, but those big giants with the fortified walls and all, that didn't change in 40 years. They were still there. Do you know the Bible says that they actually sent more spies in than the second time to go spy out the land? Right? They saw the same thing, but they chose a different response. Strength and courage is what God asks of them. So, watch this. Strong, let me just give you a definition in case you didn't know what strong meant. Strong is to become strong or powerful beyond the average expectation. Whether it's physical or one's own constitution. To be strong above average or above what's expected of you. That's what it means to be strong. Courageous means to be able to face and deal with danger or fear or fear without flinching. To be able to face or deal with danger or fear without flinching. Right? Strong and courageous. Men, you know, strong and courageous should go with us like watermelon and the 4th of July. Amen. We were meant to be strong and courageous. We're all called to strength and courage. You know, I think about people who had strength and courage. I think about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the outspoken. If you've never read or anything of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you need to. He was a German pastor who spoke out against the Nazis, and that would eventually cost him his life. One of my heroes is Harriet Tubman. Watch, if you've never seen that movie, Harriet, watch that movie. It is amazing. Amazing, godly woman who, when she was freed, went back, made 19 trips back into the South and freed over 300 slaves in the Underground Railroad. Amazing woman. Amazing godly woman that she would be about to go down this path. And watch this. The Holy Spirit would speak to her and say, don't go that way. And he would turn her around and they would go another way and she would escape. Time after time after time. Harriet Tubman. Amazing woman. Then you know, in more in my time, right? A woman like Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady herself. right, who stood up as a powerful against the powerful unions of the UK and stood firmly on her ground when other people would cave in their stance and they cowered in their strong stance, not the Iron Lady. She stood strong. Amen. What about, and then we go biblically to the Apostle Paul, who would call himself the least of the apostles. And he would say that his conversion opened and has opened defiance of the religious people of the day. And the Holy Spirit would use him to help establish the church and write much of our New Testament. You know, when you think about these courageous people, when you think about the courage that these people had, you're like, I don't need that courage. I just need not to be a jerky coworker. I need to be able to handle the people that I work with. Like, I don't need, you know, the Harriet Tubman courage. I don't need the, you know, the Dietrich Bonhoeffer courage. I need just the courage to make it through my day at work today. I need the courage to step out and be the man of God that God's called me to be. See, there's a couple, I want to talk about two common misinterpretations, misunderstanding about courage. The first one is this. It's the first to say courage and strength. Courage and strength, people aren't just born with it. That's a misnomer. You're not just born with courage, right? You're in the very idea that the word says, be strong and be courageous. That is the command, that you can be this. You understand, courage is in every person. You have the ability to be courageous. Men, women, listen, you have what it takes to be courageous. Let me speak that over you this morning. You have what it takes because it's God-given to be courageous. But the word says, be strong. Why would God tell you to be strong if you couldn't? Be strong and courageous. It's in all of us. And, but here's the, but it needs to be cultivated and developed. Courage has to be cultivated and developed. The second misconception of courage is that there is, that there's no fear. Well, if I have fear, then I don't have courage. Mm-mm. Actually, if you go back to my little definition of courage, it's the ability to face and deal with danger and fear without flinching. I'm reminded, if you'll humor me for a second into my nerddom, when Thor, yes. When Captain Marvel comes on the scene, right? And she's standing there. Y'all, if y'all have seen the movie, you know where I'm going with this. Yes. Thor, and they're trying to figure out who this Captain Marvel chick is, right? They're trying to figure out who she is. And if she has what it takes to be on the team. Thor reaches up behind, come here, Rachel, reaches up behind her head to like this. And if you know when Thor, And so he holds his hand. And you know when Thor holds his hand like this, you know what's coming, right? Yeah. Right, his hammer, or actually his big axe at that point, which his axe is like gigantic. And when it flies past her head, she's looking directly at him. She doesn't even flinch. Right? It's not that there's an absence of fear. It's like that fear does not affect me. I was watching a video. I was trying to get maybe a video clip. And I remember there was this one video clip of Kobe Bryant. And there was this guy, and he was standing there. And they had been fighting kind of the whole game. And they had been kind of going back and forth at each other. And the guy, like, did one of those things where you throw the ball and you catch it, like, right in front of his face. Right? And Kobe Bryant just, like, didn't even flinch. Kobe Bryant is a basketball player. But be strong and courageous. The Hawks tonight need to be strong and courageous. Yeah. Amen. Jesus. Man. Can we just have a moment of prayer? So if you are commanded to be strong, let me tell you this. When you step into that next place in your life, the moment you step in and say, hey, I'm going to start fighting this addiction that I have. The moment that you say, I'm going to start fighting this oppression that's on me. This idea that I've never broken through this area before, but I'm going to step out and do it. That fear grips you. Let me just say, it grips everybody. Fear is not just, you are just not the one, I'm just fearful. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. But courage stands in the face of fear and does it anyway. You do it afraid, right? You do it afraid. With courage, you step out. All these places of new freedom for you, new parenting, new places in God. I want to step out into this new place of faith in God. All the thoughts, all the doubts. Remember, the Israelites faced the same giants the first time as they did the second time. The Bible says that they didn't receive the promise of God because it wasn't mixed with faith, the Apostle Paul says. There are going to be challenges to your new place. Wherever there's a new place to go in God, there will always be giants. There'll always be, mark it down. And if there's no giants, maybe you should ask God if that's where you need to be going. Because God is always calling you out to new places. So how do you develop this? He goes down the list and tells us how. There's going to be challenges to your courage. He says this, observe all of the instructions. For all of us, New King James people, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you observe to do all that's recorded in it. Then you will find your way prosperous. Right? This book of these instructions that God's given us, if you choose to walk in these way of these instructions, God says you'll be prosperous in what you do. And then he goes on to say, don't look to the left or to the right. Because let me tell you, actually this scripture is not just talking about the actual act of going into the land and possessing it. That's what we've been taught. We've been taught that this is the Braveheart speech. Yeah. Right? Freedom! Possess the land! You know, there may be a day, or Aragorn. There may be a day when the hearts of men grow weak. I forgot what he says. But it will not be this day. That just makes you feel good, doesn't it? But what he's saying is, hey, when you go into the land, when you go into the land, not just taking it over, when you go into the land, there are going to be people in that land who don't worship God like you worship. There's going to be people in the land who don't do the things like you do. And the temptation will be to be like them. He says, don't look to the right, don't look to the left. You stand on my word and you look at my word and obey my instructions. And when you do that, Joshua, when your people do that, Joshua, you will succeed in everything you put your hands to. That's the promise. So how does that relate to us? It's the same thing. What are the instructions? And here's my challenge. The instructions are, that we resist the devil. The Bible teaches us to resist. Question, how's your resist level going? Have you been resisting?
That's right.
And In everything, Paul says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. How's your prayer life? Have you just been worrying about it? Or are you praying about it? I mean, see this, listen, guys, listen. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the people who quote unquote succeed and the people who don't. He says, Paul says, James says, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Speak out God's truth, God's word. I am. That's why I do it all the time. I am what God says I am. Come on. I can do what God says I can do. God says I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only, not beneath. God says he'll cause all my steps, he'll cause me to prosper in all my ways. Right? But we love this morning. But we don't. We worry. We fret. We act just like the world. And we expect the different results. And we don't understand. Or then we'll point our finger back to God and say, God, why did you cause us to walk around this wilderness all these years? Why did you cause us to walk around and why I would rather go back into my drinking days and my bondage days than to do this. When God says, would you just, I've just called you to obey. Would you just, I've given you the instruction manual. Would you just walk in the instructions?
Yes. Wow.
Last one. Do you treat it like a war? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
Listen, you have to engage in this fight. It's not something you can do just to roll over and just expect things to just kind of work out. Mm-hmm. Right? No. Listen, if things are going on in my kids' life, my kids are both here. If things are going on in my kids' life, how do I respond as a dad? How do you respond as a mom? You pray. Speak the word. Ask yourself, am I walking in love with my kids? Have I done something? Oh, we don't want to hear that one. Have I done something as a dad? Because the Bible teaches me that I'm not supposed to provoke my kids to wrath. Maybe out of some kindness, I need to question myself. That's by the way, that's following the instructions. No, is this okay this morning?
This is so good.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm just going to preach right here. Look. It's Gandalf to Frodo, right? I'm not trying to harm you. I'm trying to help you. All kind of nerd references this morning. This is fantastic. If you have questions, well, I'll just come see me later. I'll explain them all to you. Listen. Oh, it's later than it's ever been. Listen. God's given us the instruction manual. He's given us the things to do. He's given us the proper tools to fight the battles that we face. He's given you everything that you need, Scripture says, for life and godliness. He's given us all the weapon. He's given us prayer. He's given us His name. He's given us the blood of Jesus. He's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's given us all of these weapons. He's given us the shield of faith, right? The helmet of salvation. Mm-hmm. All of these things.
Yes.
He's equipped us. And he said, just use them. And then here's the best part. Then he says this. He says, and I'll be with you wherever you go. I want you to think about your next step or maybe some of that thing that you're facing. I want you to think about it in your own mind's eye, right? I want you to think about you being in a boat and you're crossing over that sea, right, of your troubles and your difficulties, and you're going somewhere. Let me ask you, in your own mind's eye, like, if you like, where is Jesus? Is he on the shore calling you over? Is he standing in the water cheering you on? Where is he? Like, just in your own mind's eye, just think about that. Where is he? Process that. And let me tell you, I know right where he would be. He's in the boat with you. He's pulling the sails for you. You're working this. I see him like just you, him working the sails as you're steering the rudder and you're doing all this stuff and y'all are working together. The Bible has an interesting way to talk about the way Jesus works with the church. He says we are co-laborers with him. He's not on the shore just going, I wish they'd hurry up. He's not even on the sea watching you struggle. He's in the boat with you. Hear that? He is steering the rudder. He is moving the sails to catch the wind with you in the boat. I mean, I can just picture it. Like all you're out there and you're praying. You're standing on the front of the bow and you're praying. And you're crying out and you're speaking truth. And God's steering the rudders. He's doing all this stuff with you. In the boat with you. Isn't that good?